For nearly a century, the president and first family have had a secluded retreat where they could leave the busy Washington, D.C. buzz. The fresh Maryland mountains offers the perfect place to rest and relax. They always have an entire military crew there anticipating their arrival. The amount of memories and history made here are priceless, and the tranquility and peace it gives our commander is beyond necessary. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you're listening to the Chronicles of Time. Let's dive in to Camp David. Before World War II, presidents didn't have a designated spot for them to simply relax. Yeah, the White House was beyond amazing, but at the same time, it's both home and office to the chief. Before the war, presidents would leisure wherever. Franklin D. Roosevelt enjoyed being on his yacht, but due to him being in open water and the threat of German U-boats, he needed to find a safer place to rest. Knowing that he had to find something, he asked the National Park Service to find him places within 100 miles of Washington, D.C. They found the president the most ideal area. On April 22, 1942, after a two-hour car ride, FDR arrived at his would-be retreat. It was nearly 10 degrees cooler than in Washington, D.C., and the cool mountain air made it great for the president's health. What he arrived at was a camp originally built by the WPA during the New Deal as a camp for government employees and their families. It was a short 60 miles from Washington, D.C., nestled in Frederick, Maryland. Nearby towns are Emmitsburg and Thurmont. On this property, there was 125 acres of beautiful woods that already had over a dozen cabins, so it worked out perfectly. The cost to convert the camp was only $18,000. There is a cabin that would become the Presidential Lodge and be named Aspen. Aspen was designed after Franklin Roosevelt's winter home in Warm Springs, Georgia. There was also a main cabin that was named Laurel Lodge. In Laurel, you will find a dining room, three conference rooms, and a small office for the presidents. Most summits and diplomatic meetings occur here. In Hickory Lodge, you will find a grill, bar, gift shop, and a lot of indoor activities. But the exact location of the retreat is kept under wraps for security reasons, but within the last couple of years, satellites from Google Earth make it inevitable to see. Once Roosevelt chose a location, it became a United States naval installation. To be more specific, it was Naval Support Facility Thurmont. The site was now ran by the military and had a full staff. So we have the location, but now we needed a name for the retreat. FDR had that covered as well. He chose the name Shangri-La, the fictional place in the mountains of James Hilton's 1933 novel, Lost Horizon. President Roosevelt was quite fond of Shangri-La. His favorite spot to relax and have a drink was at the closed-in porch of the presidential cabin. The cabin was designed with the president in mind. In his bedroom, there was a door that operated like a drawbridge for a quick escape in his wheelchair in case of a fire. His dog had his own doghouse next to the presidential cabin as well. And Roosevelt would be the one who would set in place the practice of hosting foreign leaders at the retreat. British Prime Minister Winston Churchill would visit twice with FDR. The two men would tell stories and smoke cigars for hours. And during one of Churchill's visits, he had never seen a jukebox and was curious to do so, so he went to a local restaurant in Thurmont, drank beer, and listened to the jukebox for the evening. And as for FDR, his last visit to Shangri-La was with his mistress, Lucy Mercer Rutherford, in July of 1944. Don't tell Eleanor. Once World War II was over, things were up in the air about whether or not Shangri-La should stay and serve the purpose of the president. It was FDR's successor, President Harry Truman, who would make this retreat a permanent federal facility. During his 10 visits, Truman added heat to the camp, enabling year-round usage. But I think it was perhaps Dwight Eisenhower who gave it the biggest changes. Feeling the name Shangri-La was a bit too fancy, he decided to rename it to something different. He chose Camp David after his grandson. The name change was so spur of the moment. Just a day before Eisenhower came to visit, a new sign reading Camp David was hung up. Ike also had a helicopter landing site added, shortening the trip from the White House to a mere 30 minutes. During one of his 45 visits, he deemed it the perfect spot to recover from a heart attack. He would hold cabinet meetings and tend to work while recovering. He was another president who used the grounds to host a world leader. In 1959, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev spent 2 days at Camp David. This was the first time a Soviet leader had been on American soil. Khrushchev said Camp David sounded like a place where stray dogs were sent to die. No matter what he had thought, Khrushchev warmed up to the place. After eating steaks and watching westerns, the Soviet leader said he felt the spirit of Camp David. Even after his presidency, Dwight Eisenhower was needed at the camp. He would make his final visit after being invited by President John F. Kennedy. Kennedy was looking for advice on the failed Bay of Pigs invasion in April of 1961. We can take a moment and find it somewhat shocking. We have a young Democrat president turning to an older former Republican president for advice. It's really hard to wrap our head around in today's political world. President Richard Nixon took full advantage of Camp David. He and First Lady Pat would take their daughters to visit here over 160 times. He installed a heated swimming pool outside of Aspen Lodge that is still there today. While he had his fun time, he also had more difficult times there as well. During the Watergate scandal, Nixon took his two top aides, John Ehrlichman and H.R. Haldeman, to Camp David. During this visit, bad news was looming. Haldeman recalls Nixon shaking his hand, the first time he can remember his boss doing so, hinting at bad news. Nixon would go on to ask for the resignations of both men in Aspen Lodge. A few years later, President Jimmy Carter would host the President of Egypt and the Prime Minister of Israel for a secret 12-day negotiation at Camp David in September of 1978. This meeting became known as the Camp David Peace Accords and historically laid the groundwork for peace between Israel and Egypt. Ronald Reagan chose Camp David as the site to host his weekly presidential radio address. He and First Lady Nancy loved spending their time horseback riding and watching movies as well. In his 8 years in office, the Reagans watched 344 movies at Camp David. And hey, to be fair, the movies were pretty great in the 80s. The staff at Camp David consists of around 200 people. Their entire job is to maintain the grounds. Even if months go by without a visit, you have to be ready for the president's arrival at a drop of a hat. The staff has even slept in the president's bedroom to ensure no disruptions for the commander. Some presidents would even have a little fun with the workers. President George H.W. Bush once wrote a note to Commander Mike Berry saying, "Mike, the toilet in the presidential bathroom is not responding to presidential commands." H.W.'s son, President George W. Bush, spent the most time out of any president at Camp David. He spent a whopping 487 days during his 2 terms, over a whole year there. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks, he took a staff and team there to strategize. But that's the beauty in Camp David. Presidents have a place to get away from Washington to truly clear their mind. They can escape into seclusion. No traffic, no lights, and no planes since you're in a no-fly zone. The president and first family enjoy horseback riding, swimming, tennis, skeet shooting, golfing, mountain bike riding, bowling, and so much more there. This is one of the few places a president gets to drive, even if it is just golf cart one. Author Michael Giorgione wrote Inside Camp David, where he worked as a formal commanding officer. He writes, "More than one president initially intended to shut the place down as a cost-cutting measure, but in every instance, the camp seduced the chief executive or someone on his staff." To me, this says a lot about Camp David. 85 years, and it is everything and more that a presidential retreat should be. Just a short drive from the historic Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, Camp David captures the spirit of America perfectly. Thank you for listening to this week's episode on Camp David. Now you know a little bit more about the presidential retreat. If you like this episode, give me a rating or review. If you have any episode suggestions or simply want to talk history, email me at thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. New episodes are out every Wednesday. And thank you again for listening. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you just listened to The Chronicles of Time.